Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast.
But Zach, this episode's late. It's like 2 days late. Why is it so late? You're late. Why were you late?
I was, in fact, late on this episode. Your boy thought he might have had COVID, which was fun. Turns out, just the flu or something, which still sucks, but not obviously as bad. Did manage to drag myself out of bed for this, though, because I love you guys, and I need to watch as much NXT as I can before it changes forever, you know? So this is the post-TakeOver 36 episode. Over on Random Wrestling, which you can find anywhere you find this podcast, I talked about how SummerSlam almost killed WWE for me, and I did some predictions. I think I did pretty good on the predictions, got some of them wrong, but we'll talk about that as this is kind of a recap show. Before we get started, I'm always on Twitter. I'm at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. We're always talking wrestling and other fun stuff over there. I also am the host of a show called Random Wrestling. We take a random wrestling pay-per-view or topic and we talk about it. We've done Royal Rumble 2014, WrestleMania 30, Hell in a Cell 2019, ECW December to Dismember, One Night Stand 2007, Capital Punishment 2011. I did all of those off the top of my head. It is okay to be as impressed as you are right now. You know, on this show, before we get started, we have a segment called News, where I react to some of the news headlines. Our first headline's from Bleacher Report that says, CM Punk rumors. Fox execs, quote, very upset, unquote, WWE didn't make a big offer to prevent AEW deal. Yeah, obviously. Not even, like, testing the waters with Punk. Like, I don't know that he would have come back to WWE, and I would not have blamed him. But to not even try is a move born out of arrogance. WWE thinks that the brand is bigger than any one star. Ever since Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold and The Rock and John Cena and Brock Lesnar left, Vince is so scared that his big star he builds everything around is going to leave that he thinks it is better for his company to be the draw. Which is okay if your company is, like, good creatively and puts on good shows. But then you have shows like SummerSlam, and you show everybody that you don't put on good shows a lot of the time, and then that doesn't work. And to not even test the waters with Punk is so insane. AEW, we talked about it when Mimi Burris, and Matt talked about the AEW show on Friday. And we were all very excited because CM Punk is back. And I think I made the point that AEW was already competition for WWE. We thought that they would be competition for NXT. They blew NXT out of the water, I said on that show. As somebody who now has to host a show on a different day because of it, that was not a competition. It's a competition between the big Raw and SmackDown shows, and they're gaining ground every day on those shows. And CM Punk and Bryan Danielson are only going to help, and to not even try to sign some big stars back is crazy. Another Bleacher Report, WWE SmackDown commentator Pat McAfee announces he's tested positive for, I'm going to assume that's COVID there. Pat McAfee is unironically the best announcer in WWE right now, and in I don't know how long, he is a national treasure. I hope that he comes back from this because he is one of the few things that makes WWE watchable. Also, Bleacher Report, boy, they're hitting news today. Brock Lesnar reportedly under WWE contract for at least 8 matches. Okay. Sure, that's fine. Brock Lesnar is always a good guy to have around. Would I have him against Roman Reigns? No. Is it a different thing because Roman's a bad guy now? No, it's not. But here we are. So hopefully we get through with the Roman match and we can get the Bobby Lashley match that we should have started with, but we're too busy having Bobby Lashley Goldberg 2, and I can't stress this enough, please. I know you're going to have the Saudi Arabia match with Bobby Lashley and Goldberg, but please don't. There were like 3 different spots in that match where I thought Goldberg was legitimately going to hurt Bobby Lashley, and don't give him more chances. WWE reportedly not interested in indie wrestlers right now. Cool, because Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, CM Punk, let's see, I'm sure that there's more that I'm missing. Those weren't big stars. The thing is, you don't have to have a company full of just indie wrestlers. You can have homegrown talent, too. Roman Reigns is a homegrown talent. Seth Rollins is an indie wrestler. So, like, you can have a mix, but to not be interested in indie wrestlers. Like, the problem with your company is not that you have too many indie wrestlers. It's that you have, like, bad ideas and a bad process and a stubborn, insane 75-year-old that makes all the decisions that shouldn't be. Adam Cole rumors. Vince McMahon definitely wants to keep star amid WWE. Adam Cole's never going to hear this, nor does he need my advice on anything, but please, for the love of God, go to AEW. Vince is going to make you sound like you are going to be the next big thing in WWE. He's going to do all this stuff for you. He's going to make himself out to be like a father figure to you, only wants the best for you, make you dependent on him, and as soon as you sign that contract, he has you. And the first time Adam Cole gets in the ring and is standing in there with Randy Orton, and he's shorter and skinnier, Vince is going to look at that, and in his headset, it's just going to be like, oh, he's tiny. And if that doesn't happen, 2 weeks later, he's going to get bored of Adam Cole, and Adam Cole will be in an intercontinental title feud or a 24/7 title feud, and he is so very much better than that. AEW doesn't have those stupid borders. Please go to AEW where you will be used properly. Please, I don't want to waste a potential generational young talent like Adam Cole with such a bad company like WWE. I really don't. But we're not here to talk about rumors and stuff. You know, we're here to talk about NXT. My head feels like it's in a vice, and talking into a microphone does not feel great. But I am here for you. We're going to talk about some NXT, baby. Limo arrives at the Capitol Wrestling Center. It's a white limo with a gold money sign on it, and it's Cameron Grimes and Ted DiBiase. Cameron Grimes beat LA Knight to win that $1 million title at TakeOver 36. I think I said in my predictions that I wanted LA Knight to retain, but I thought Cameron Grimes would, although it was too soon. By the way, this is not a, oh, I know wrestling, I got this stuff right. I'm going to get stuff wrong way more than I get right. Cameron Grimes is starting us out. Ted DiBiase is with him. This, again, feels like it happened too soon, but it's cool to see Cameron Grimes with the $1 million title. We're going to play a fun game tonight of whoever I see, are they going to stay around in this new NXT is going to be super fun to watch, I bet. So Grimes, definitely, he's totally over with this crowd. He has, listen, this is not necessarily going to come to fruition, but he has Daniel Bryan level potential. That's where this was starting to go. That's why I said it was too soon, because you could have dragged this out and gotten something like that. Not exactly, but the fans just behind a guy. DiBiase, no. Ew, dude, he's old. Gross. Get that out of here. DiBiase says he was here to find a special someone who could carry on the legacy of the $1 million man and be worthy of the $1 million title. To my immediate memory, the $1 million title holders are Ted DiBiase, maybe Virgil, the Ringmaster, which was Stone Cold when he first came to WWE, then Ted DiBiase Jr., who is no longer in wrestling, to LA Knight, to Cameron Grimes. What a interesting title lineage. He puts over Grimes. Ted DiBiase is great for this role. It adds some legitimacy to Cameron Grimes as an in-ring competitor. Everybody knows that he's a really good talker, and he's very entertaining, and he's funny. But it's important to have somebody like Ted DiBiase with in-ring bona fides to kind of tip his cap to Cameron Grimes, because Grimes is very, very good in the ring. Grimes says, "Ted, when you first showed up, you drove me nuts." He says, "That was on purpose. I was testing you." Grimes says, "I'm glad you gave me that test. I was starting to lose sight. I was looking at the jewelry and the zeros in my bank account, but I didn't have that accomplishment that made me something." He said, "Now I have that, and I knew I wasn't going to let Ted be a butler." He said, "At TakeOver 36, you and I together took care of LA Knight, and I became the million-dollar champion." "I have a question, Ted. Where does Cameron Grimes go now?" They both say, "To the moon," and Cameron Grimes' face money falls from the sky. Vic Joseph and Beth Phoenix are very excited about that. Wade Barrett is not. All the announcers, I think, would stay. Vic Joseph, Beth Phoenix, and Wade Barrett are really, really good together. There's not really a weak link in there. I guess you would say it's Vic Joseph, but Vic Joseph is a very good point guard, and him and Beth are really good together, being like wide-eyed optimists, whereas Barrett is just sick of it all the time. I like their chemistry together, so I think that they would stay. So recap of some of TakeOver 36. Dakota Kai loses. Kaylee Ray shows up after the match to get in Raquel's face to be her next challenger. I believe I got this one wrong. I thought Dakota Kai would win because if Raquel beat Dakota, who's next? Well, as it turns out, Dakota Kai loses in a really good match, but Dakota Kai loses, probably going to the main roster, bless her heart. Kaylee Ray from NXT UK shows up to be her next challenger. Whenever that match happens, I'm probably going to pick Kaylee Ray for the same reason. If Raquel beats her, I don't know what we're doing. So that was a fun surprise. Kaylee Ray's really good if you haven't seen her wrestle. Walter and Ilya Dragunov had their match of the year that everybody told you it was going to be, and Walter is finally defeated 800-some days as NXT UK champion. Ilya Dragunov is your new NXT UK champ. I really, really, really hope that this means that Walter can come to NXT. Dakota Kai is probably going to the main roster. Kaylee Ray, I think, works in NXT. Raquel, they're going to want on the main roster soon. Walter definitely works in NXT, unless Vince thinks he's fat or something. Dragunov is probably going back to NXT UK, but absolutely could be one of the guys in NXT, except he doesn't speak perfect English, and Vince hates that, and I swear to you I'm not making that up. So who knows, really? But hopefully we get Walter in NXT so we see more of him. He really is fantastic in the ring. He's just a special, special talent. Get more eyes on him, and maybe one day we can get Dragunov back too. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly have a two-short match with a bad finish. Their first fall ended with a quick roll-up, I think, by Kyle O'Reilly. And then Adam Cole wins the street fight. And then there was a spot where Adam Cole handcuffed Kyle O'Reilly to the ropes there near the corner, and he was super kicking him, and Kyle O'Reilly catches one of the kicks, puts Adam Cole in like a knee bar and makes him tap out. Fans crapped all over this finish, one, because Kyle O'Reilly has been the better promo in all of these segments. He's been a cooler character. They've presented Kyle O'Reilly like a dork who's not as good at promos, and people felt this was going to be Adam Cole's last NXT match no matter where he goes, so the support was completely behind Adam Cole, and the match as a whole was kind of weird. It felt like it didn't have enough time. It felt like we had seen everything that we needed to see from this feud. So, I mean, Kyle O'Reilly wins, and again, I really hope Adam Cole runs, not walks, to AEW. I believe he's no longer on a contract. He like signed a small extension, so I don't even know if there would be a no compete. So presumably he could just show up whenever, which would be fantastic. The doomed from the start main event was Karrion Kross defending the NXT title against Samoa Joe. I am sincerely so sorry to Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross was never my favorite. Mimi and I have a lot of fun with this. But Karrion Kross was much, much better than this ending. A lot of people talk about how he's not much in the ring. He got carried by better, you know, opponents. And to a degree, that is true. But you can absolutely have a dominant champion like that. That's part of the reason you have a Johnny Gargano or a Kyle O'Reilly or an Adam Cole or a Keith Lee. You can make people who aren't as good look better. And that's what they were doing with him. And then he went on Raw and lost to Jeff Hardy. And then he's had this up and down thing. And now he's wearing a dumb, almost gladiator outfit on the main roster. And he's not going to be anything on the main roster because Vince, I guess, thinks he's a joke. I think that Karrion Kross was a good NXT champion until he wasn't, and then he was a terrible one. During his dominant stretch as NXT champion, he was having a lot of good matches. However much credit you want to give him for those matches is up to you. I thought he was improving as a promo. I thought his presentation was a lot better. I think Vince and the main roster killed him, and I think this match, if he had just been NXT Karrion Kross, would have been a lot more fun. This was just a foregone conclusion and a piece of business that needed to be taken care of. So sincerely, I am sorry to Karrion Kross, and I hope that he can be better than this terrible booking on the main roster. I just don't have a lot of faith in that. So Samoa Joe wins. He becomes the first ever three-time NXT champion. That's very fitting. Samoa Joe is fantastic in the ring. As you saw, he broke out the Muscle Buster again. I love that move. He's one of the best promos in WWE, and on some nights he is the best promo. He's one of the best promos I've ever heard, and I've heard a lot of promos. He's one of the few guys that if Paul Heyman is on his A game, he could go shot for shot with him. And that is saying a lot. So Samoa Joe is your NXT champion, however long that reign is a great choice. So it was good that they had an eject button to hit. And I'm just really glad to see Samoa Joe back in the ring and with that NXT title. It feels right. So tonight, Hit Row is taking on Legado del Fantasma in a six-man tag match. That's going to be fun. And the breakout tournament final with Carmelo Hayes and Odyssey Jones. The winner of that match gets a shot at whatever title they want. I had not caught that before now. Ridge Holland is making his entrance with Pete Dunne. Ridge Holland is going to be really good someday. Ridge Holland is still green in the ring because he just hasn't had that much in-ring time. But he feels different. He has it. He has a charisma to him. He doesn't trip over himself or embarrass himself on promos. He's very physical in the ring with the things that he can do. Give him more in-ring time, and I think he could be really special one day. I just hope he doesn't get called up too soon. I need Vince to leave him alone, I guess is my point. His entrance music is cool. I really like it. He's taking on Timothy Thatcher. Ridge Holland is really coming along in the ring. I think Timothy Thatcher had a lot to do with that, but it's good to see Ridge Holland having better and better matches than when he first debuted. Ridge Holland beats Timothy Thatcher in the middle of the ring. You'll love to see it. Ridge Holland starts attacking Ciampa, who's checking on Thatcher. There's kind of an all-out brawl between Dunn, Holland, and Ciampa, who Ciampa takes both of them out before Oney Lorcan nailed it, dude. And a returning Danny Burch, who was injured, take him out. Really good to see Danny Burch back. They gang up on Ciampa, and they kind of start taking him down. Thatcher pulls Ridge Holland out of the ring and hits him. Pete Dunne kind of lays back until he sees an opportunity and grabs Thatcher's arm. Thatcher keeps fighting back, but eventually he's hit in the throat with the club that Ridge Holland carries around. Ridge Holland is about to start attacking him again, but Pete Dunne stops him from doing anything more. And Pete Dunne, Ridge Holland, and Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch leave. Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan are a really fun team. I would think that they would stick around, but also, what do I know? Pete Dunne obviously staying around unless he wants to go somewhere else. He could fit in AEW pretty well, too. Ridge Holland very obviously staying around. He's a building block. Just since we were doing it earlier, Odyssey Jones absolutely staying. Carmelo Hayes should absolutely stay. Raquel Gonzalez interview she's putting over Dakota Kai says that's probably not the end of Dakota Kai and her. Probably is, though. She talks about Kaylee Ray. That should actually be a really fun match. Kaylee Ray spent 600-plus days as NXT UK Women's Champ. She's the woman version of Walter. Before we can get any further, Frankie Monet interrupts, and I immediately stopped caring, and I didn't listen and didn't take any more notes, I'm going to be honest with you. Raquel Gonzalez is going to go to the main roster at some point. Dakota Kai as well. They'll do nothing with Dakota Kai. They'll do more with Raquel. Kaylee Ray, I think, works in NXT. She has an accent, so I don't know what Vince is going to do with her on the main roster. There's room for like one person with an accent, and Becky Lynch just returned. So there's a Kaylee Ray vignette. She's really, really good. Again, if you haven't seen her, she's a really, really, really good wrestler. There's a reason she was champion for 600-plus days. Like, they don't do that very often. You know, with WWE anyway. And the two people who had the longest title reigns going were Walter and Kaylee Ray, to give you an idea of where Kaylee Ray is as a performer. She's really, really good. She's actually in action next. Maybe she'll actually win. That would probably be good, huh? An enhancement talent is already in the ring, so that's a good sign. Kaylee Ray gets a cool entrance, but her theme is a weird bad dubstep thing that I don't love. But alright, I hope that's not going to be her music forever, because that doesn't even really fit her character, I don't think. It's just straight up a dubstep thing, and I don't know how we arrived at that. Short match, Ray wins with a gory bomb. Her hair is very, very long. That seems dangerous. I realize I sound like a parent, but I am worried with every move that her hair is going to get caught on something. It seems very long. Please be careful, sweetie. Samoa Joe arriving at the building. The champ is next. Back from commercial, Joe is in the ring. Again, the first ever three-time NXT champion. It was really just Adam Cole, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, maybe Kevin Owens that I could have seen doing that. Maybe Shinsuke Nakamura. But I like that it's Samoa Joe. Joe says at TakeOver 36, I stood across the most dominant champ in NXT history. I walked down Karrion Kross, beat him up, and I'm the first ever three-time champ. Believe me, that fact should make tonight a night for celebration. I am not dressed to celebrate. Experience tells me to be the NXT champ, nailed it, dude, is to be the king in the land of savages. And in that land, there is no time to celebrate. As a matter of fact, when I arrived today, there was a tension in the air. Handshakes were colder. The stares were a bit bolder. I'm here to answer one simple question. Who amongst you is willing to come out here to step to me? The champ is waiting. And immediately Pete Dunne music hits and he's out. That's smart. I'd like to see that match, please. Dunne gets in the ring, says, you stood face to face with me enough times to know the truth. I don't care how many times you've held that title. It's three. They've said it a few times. You ain't the baddest around here, so go fetch your man Regal and tell him to make the match. And Joe, don't make me provoke. LA Knight interrupts for some reason. I wish we weren't doing it like this. LA Knight just lost to Cameron Grimes. Why would he get in on an NXT title match? Knight cuts a bad main roster promo saying he wants a title shot as well. Pete Dunne and LA Knight could be a fun match for number one contender, though. He starts to get on the apron, and Pete Dunne says, take one more step and I will break all of your fingers. LA Knight says he's just here to talk. And then Kyle O'Reilly's song. Why in the world is Kyle O'Reilly's music here? What are we doing with Kyle O'Reilly, man? Kyle O'Reilly couldn't beat Cross, and Samoa Joe beat Cross. What are we doing, dude? So Kyle O'Reilly does that really bad comedy that they have him do. He calls Samoa Joe Samoa Joseph, which isn't how you say it, so that's very funny. He calls Pete Dunne Peter. That's very good. I forgot what he called LA Knight, but I'm sure it was like LA Knight Rider, which I'm sure was very, very funny. And, okay, a brawl breaks out, still with Ciampa, Thatcher, Ridge Holland. That kind of spills out. Everybody's brawling. Joe is the last man standing with Ciampa in the ring. So I don't know. I guess we're going to do Kyle O'Reilly, LA Knight, and Pete Dunne triple threat number one contender match. That would be fun. Don't you dare. Don't you dare make Kyle O'Reilly the number one contender. I will not go through this again with Kyle O'Reilly. Do not put Kyle O'Reilly in a feud with somebody who is an even better promo than Adam Cole. Don't do that to him. Odyssey Jones and Carmelo Hayes, finals of the breakout tournament. Hayes pulls off the improbable win. That's a smart move. Odyssey Jones is going to be a huge star, so is Carmelo Hayes. Almost didn't matter who wins. I would say Carmelo Hayes is more ready for a title match sooner than Odyssey Jones, but I think both of these guys are going to be holding a few titles by the time everything is said and done. They ask Hayes what title he's going after. Says it's too soon. He should go for the NXT title. That is the only one that makes sense. No reason to go for any other title. Why would you? Really, really fun match. These guys, along with Duke Hudson, could be the future of NXT. Legado del Fantasma and Hit Row, excuse me, are out for our main event. This is going to be really great. These groups only have great matches. And in fact, they do. Electra Lopez is the new member of Legado del Fantasma. She comes out with a lead pipe, hits Be Real, and then throws the pipe in the ring to Swerve Scott. The ref is arguing with Swerve about having the pipe, and Swerve is rolled up for the three. Good old distraction roll up. Lame finish for a match, but good for the story. So I'm not too mad at it. My wife caught the tail end of it. She thought it was really cool. So, I mean, I guess it worked. So we're going to continue the feud with Legado and Hit Row, specifically with Swerve and Santos Escobar over that North American title. So that's fun. And this group, again, only has great matches. And now Be Real has somebody to kind of fight with Electra Lopez. I'm not familiar with with Electra Lopez, but it's good to have a woman on both sides. That way we can have an intergender war games match, maybe. I don't know how that works, but I don't know if we're leading to, we're going to hold off the North American title match until TakeOver, or if we're going to just have these groups feud and feud and feud, but I'm fine with that. Hit Row's great. Legado del Fantasma's great. And this group literally just doesn't have bad matches. It doesn't happen. So that's a pretty fun episode of NXT. Usually after a takeover, it's kind of just a recap show. And that is basically what this was. However, we did get some setup with Legado and Hit Row. We got to see Kaylee Ray in action. We're going to see her going after Raquel Gonzalez. Frankie Monet figures into that somehow, unfortunately. Frankie Monet is very talented. Her character is just whack, dude. Samoa Joe is now your NXT champion, and I guess we're going to do Kyle O'Reilly, LA Knight, and Pete Dunne for a number one contendership. I would like to just get the Pete Dunne match going right now, unless you want him to go through like LA Knight first and Pete Dunne's the one that beats him for the title. I don't know. I'm interested to see where we go with Carmelo Hayes. He has a guaranteed title shot. Maybe he could get some momentum going. Joe could hold on to it. Win over Samoa Joe would be pretty big. Let me know your thoughts. At ZachNXT, at ZACHNXT on Twitter. What do you think of this episode? What do you think of our potential number one contender? Who do you think is going to be the one to take the women's title off of Raquel? And do you think it's going to be Kaylee Ray? Who's going to take the NXT title off Samoa Joe? Where are our tag team champions? These are all good questions. You can hit me up over there on Twitter. Again, don't forget to rate and subscribe over here, and check out my other podcast, Random Wrestling. I have a lot of fun over there, and I'd love for you to join me. But in the meantime, that's it for NXT, so that's it for me. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, as always, and thank you for listening.